August.
Jesus, lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for August. August 2018.
I'm Jason.
I'm Scott.
I jumped the queue.
And this year I'm trying to watch Scariest Movies Part 2.
And I am going through my 3D movies and watching those, which I failed again this month.
And then whatever other movies you watched during that month.
I didn't watch any this month.
You didn't watch any movies?
No, I didn't watch any 3D movies.
I didn't either.
I didn't watch any last month. But that's not your goal.
Yeah. You watch scary movies, though, on my list.
Yeah, I watched your list.
Ha, ha, ha.
Anyway.
Sirkin Dope. Oh.
That's the name of your first movie?
No, I can't. I don't know what that was. Okay.
So I'm going to start.
Why?
Because you don't know how to talk. I watched a movie I've seen multiple times, but I haven't talked about it on this podcast.
Podcast. Ah, cat, you're biting me.
And it's called Hot Fuzz. If you know us, me and Scott, you know that we enjoy Edgar Wright's movies.
And if you know me, you know this is like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. So if you don't know, Hot Fuzz is... I don't know if I want to call it a sequel, but it's the second in the Cornetto trilogy. The first one was Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
And this one's Hot Fuzz. And then World's End was part three. But each one is its own movie. You don't have to see any of the other ones. But Hot Fuzz is kind of like a parody of the Buddy Cop movies.
Yeah, it's like an homage or other big word for it.
But it's this one cop, he's too good at his job, so they send him to this little town where there's no crime at all, and as he's there, he realizes that he's got to tone it down because he's so hardcore and was, you know, trying to find crime all the time, and now he's like trying to cut back a bit because this town is not going on.
It's like a quaint little village,
yeah.
Where he's like, oh, someone's jaywalking, gotta write him up.
Yeah. So then he gets partnered with this guy who is like craving the attention that he used to have on a daily basis of foot patrols and chases and shootouts and all this stuff. And I don't know. It's just funny because it's kind of the opposite of most buddy cops where it's like, oh, he's just a regular Joe and then he becomes badass by the end. And this one, he starts off badass and he's like trying to like tone himself down. But it takes a lot of the cliches of buddy cop movies and then just like looks it right in the face and laughs at it. I'm not going to give too much of the plot away, but there's definitely some strange things brewing in this little town, and it's really funny.
Well, because like there's like right away, like without saying,
there's a goose loose they used to capture.
It's a swan.
Swan, sorry.
Jesus.
It's the one swan actually.
Just a swan. No, because like right away, like people are being killed. Because, like, you see, like, you don't see what's happening, but, like, you're like, oh, that's obviously not an accident. And he's trying to figure out what no one believes him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of accidents. Last week, the guy fell in
the shoes. No crime in this town. They're just all accidents.
Yeah. But I love that movie because, like, it kind of also tries to give off a horror feel, which I mm-hmm. fucking love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, goddamn, Edgar Wright's amazing.
Yeah. So Hot Fuzz, I loved it. I gave it an 8.5.
Wow. That'd be like at least a 9.
Yeah, it's lower than Scott would have gave it.
I probably would have 9.5 or 10. That movie's fucking... There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
God damn it. It's so good.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz.
It's off the fucking chain.
Okay, now you can start.
My first movie I watched was a little movie... Oh, God.
This is why I took over.
Yeah, I didn't grab anything to drink, though. The first movie I watched was a little movie called Four Flies in Grey Velvet.
I watched it, too.
All right. The next movie.
We didn't even rate it. You can't just go to the next one.
It's a movie by Dario Argento of Suspiria fame. This is, like, one of his first movies because he does a lot of, like, trilogies in theme. And this was the part of the, I guess, animal trilogy. I want to say it's the second or third one in the Animal Trilogy.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. But the first one's like the Bird with the Crystal Plumage, and then Cat of Nine Tails, and then Four Flies and Grey Velvet. But the gist of it is this guy who's in a band. Like, just to start off with, this movie, like, he, Dario Argento, back in the good old days when he first started directing, he does amazing things with directing. Like, the movie starts off where this guy is playing in this band, and he day in and day out, he's getting followed by this guy. He has no idea who it is. And then eventually, at one point, he finally confronts the guy, and an accident happens where the guy ends up getting stabbed, and he's a dead person. But then someone is there with the creepiest mask I've seen in a while. Who takes a picture and starts blackmailing this dude. Mm-hmm. Not, like, for anything in general, just saying, like, hey, here's a picture of you stabbing this dude. That's it.
Yep, he
whoever it is, like, putting it, like, in his house, or, like, calling him on the phone saying, oh, I know what you're doing, I know what you did. And he's like, but they're not asking for anything. He's just, like, getting more and more paranoid, like, what the fuck is happening? And, of course, him, he's trying to figure out what is going on and figuring out who is trying to blackmail him.
Right.
And then also you see, like, behind the scenes, like, all these other people, like, that are tied into this that you didn't know. And it...
Well, there's, like... Okay, so he starts getting blackmailed for this, and a bunch of his friends and stuff just start getting murdered,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, and then it's kind of like they're trying to pin this on him,
mm-hmm.
But they're not telling him what they want out of it.
Yeah, or why,
Which is, I think, the creepiest thing about this whole thing. It's like, what do you do? It's like they give you this picture, and you're like, here you go.
Yeah.
You're like, now what?
Yeah. But no, I thought it was like, but like at the very, very beginning, the very intro credits, that just the way he was playing drumming and stuff like that, and, like, practicing drumming, and then cuts to, like, him being in traffic, and then back to the drumming and stuff. Like, the shots were so cool. Like, he just does some awesome, like, directorial work and stuff like that. Yeah, awesome visuals and stuff. But, yeah, you'll have to watch it to find out why it's called that, because...
Yeah, that's, like, toward the end of the film where they actually say the phrase.
Yeah. But I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 7.
But this is on my list of horror movies to watch. The next one I didn't. It wasn't on my horror list movies, but I saw it in the theaters. It's called Slender Man. See, because last month we talked about how MoviePass is a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Still is. But still is.
If
they,
not worse.
They renewed my subscription even though I had canceled it. So I said, well, might as well see a movie. And every time I go see a movie in the theater, they're like, this movie's playing. And I went, okay. And then right before I left, it's like, just kidding, these movies are playing. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, fuck it. Slender Man. I like horror movies. I'll watch it. Boy, did I watch it. It feels... All right. So Slender Man, as everyone knows, is like the creepypasta about... about this guy.
I'm not gonna lie, I hate the phrase creepypasta because mainly because I don't know what it is until you explained it to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's just one of those tales on the internet. That's what I call it, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's an internet tale that gets from message board to message board, slowly starts getting twisted a little bit and like evolves. Mm-hmm. Like the story evolves and eventually becomes widely known by everybody.
Yeah.
Especially in this case, since...
they made movies out of it.
Well, I was going to say because that kid tried to kill her friend
in
Wisconsin to please Slender Man. That's where people who didn't know about the creepypasta is where they started hearing, what the heck's this Slender Man?
Yeah.
And then, like, now everyone knows, and then Hollywood's like, we should make a movie about it.
And they should. Because
it's popular.
All right, so this movie, it's about these girls in high school. They're hanging out and stuff, and all the boys. And it's so, like, a lot of the dialogue, I guess it kind of works in that way, but a lot of dialogue was, it felt like, these people that watched this movie, they went, hey, let's have our daughters write the dialogue. And, like, because you're watching the movie, and it feels like a bunch of kids, like, when you're in high school, like, yeah, we're cool, we can do whatever we want. Like, these kids had no fucking, like, their parents didn't give a shit where they were or anything. It just felt like these kids had too much power just in the movie. Like, they came and go, went as they please and didn't do whatever. Anyways, the plot of the movie, a bunch of the girls, they got together for a sleepover, and they're like, oh, did you hear what the guys are doing at their sleepover? They're contacting Slender Man. Oh.
With a Ouija board?
How do they do it? Well, there's a video you watch. So they watch the video, much like The Ring, where it's just a bunch of weird stuff. But apparently, you hear these three gongs or chimes or whatever, and you're supposed to keep your eyes closed, and then he shows up in the third one.
Three gongs?
It's like a, like boom.
I understand.
Not gongs, but rings, bell rings.
Right, but what is... I don't know what that is.
Yeah, welcome to the movie. This is the fucking start of the movie. And then one of the girls ends up seeing him, because that's apparently them calling him. So one girl sees him in the forest and then just disappears, and they're walking around a cemetery for a fucking high school field trip, and then like, oh, one of our friends disappeared. Well, okay. And then the friends like slowly are trying to figure out where their friend went, and so they're going through her old laptop and figuring stuff out, and then they start seeing shit after a few days. It's like I said, it's like The Ring, but they put a fucking Slenderman like skin over it. Like they rethemed it, they repurposed it to be, you know, a Slenderman movie instead of The Ring 3. Mm-hmm. The plot was just boring. Like nothing fucking happened other than them trying to find their friend. And then here's some weird visual effects. Some of the visual effects were awesome. Like, they actually did some pretty cool things with, like, the way things looked. Although, at the same time, they said, we're going to make the movie as dark as possible. So you can't see shit. But since they're teenagers, they use their phones a lot. Much like when you wake up at midnight and go, what time is it? And you look at your phone and you go, oh, no, it's too bright. I can't see. That's how the movie was sometimes. I couldn't tell what was happening until they turned the flashlight on or their cell phone, and then I couldn't fucking see because it was too bright. Like, I had to shield my eyes at some point. I'm like, it was so fucking dark. Slender Man's in it for all of maybe a minute. And then the actresses weren't that great, and it was just, I don't know, man. It had its moments, it had potential, but it didn't have my stamp of approval. So I gave it a 5.5. And also the first trailer, the two scenes I was like, oh shit, that looks kind of creepy. The two scenes I liked, they cut out of the movie.
Because it was probably too scary or too dark. Because they wanted to hit a PG-13 rating.
Well, one of the parts was like just like the cops driving onto the field.
Yeah, but the kid was holding something, and you can't do that scene without showing it.
It doesn't matter. Like, I don't even remember what character that was supposed to be coming out of the woods. And then be like, oh, it doesn't matter. And then the one character just got sick and fucking whatever. Also, the end of the movie, like, they're going through the whole movie, and then at the very end, like, one of the characters just does a voiceover, like a narration voiceover.
And the first time there's this freaking...
Yeah, pretty much. And she's like, yeah, well, some people believe in this, and some people believe in that, and I think his power comes from that. But that's life, you know? And then it's like credits, like, wait.
It's like the opposite of Gremlins, where there's narration at the beginning and then nothing the rest of the movie.
I'm just more upset by the fact that, like, she just kind of, I can't remember exactly what she says, but yeah, well, like, yeah, I mean, some people see this and they believe stuff and they want to believe this, but, you know, whatever, you know?
You know?
She said, the last words were, you know? I said,
those are the best final words of a movie?
It's like, what a crazy world we live in. You know? So, what? People die, they disappear, but that's life, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck it. Credits. Like, oh, what? God, it felt like she was on a made-for-TV movie explaining things.
I wonder... It's funny, because I watched Truth or Dare, and you watched this one. I wonder which one is physically worse than the other one.
I'm guessing Truth or Dare. I'm guessing.
I would, because there's no way I'm gonna ever watch Slenderman, and there's no way you're gonna watch Truth or Dare.
I wouldn't say that.
If it was on Netflix, you'd probably watch it.
I think it is on Tubi.
No, there's a different movie called Truth or Dare, and it's okay. A different one from like the 80s or 90s.
No, there's one from like 2017 or something.
Oh, I saw one on there, and it was from like the 90s, I think.
I saw one from like 2017.
Because it's like the new one is Blumhouse.
Yeah, I think this was just, But going back to Four Flies and Grey Velvet.
Yeah, there was one that came out in 2017.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't
the Blumhouse was 2018.
Oh, okay. But going back to the Four Flies and Grey Velvet, I watched another Dario Argento movie. Because in the past, I watched Suspiria. I watched Inferno. And this time, and like I said before, the Four Flies and Grey Velvet, that was like the animal trilogy or whatever.
Yeah.
This is the. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the Three Mothers or the Mothers trilogy. I bet Tony Mayer is probably like, oh, it's this. And then, but it's like, I think it's the Mothers.
Doesn't sound anything like him.
God, I haven't fucking heard his voice in a while, okay? Jesus.
Jesus.
But he made. So Suspiria is part one, Inferno was part two, and then The Mother of Tears was part three. Now. The first two were made early on in his career. And it shows. Because this one was made in the mid-2000s. He had no budget for it, I guess.
Sometimes the low budgets are better. Not in this case.
Not in this case. As in like, he... But also, I think he kind of lost his touch because... In his early movies, like, these are some great shots. Holy
right, like,
shit.
He wasted all his creativity already, yeah, and then he's like, I'm going to try different things. And then different things aren't as good as the original stuff.
No, because, like, he did a lot of practical effects and some of that, whatever, that were neat. In this one, it was made by Dimension Films, I think, and they're like, hey, put some CGI in there. He's like, I don't want to. No, do it. It'll be cool. He's like, oh, okay. And the CGI, for how little the budget was, made it bad. But also, like, it... So, I don't want to, like... So, okay.
Inferno.
No, Mother of Tears.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Inferno was the second one, yeah.
Oh, so you're talking about... Okay.
I'm talking about Mother of Tears was the one that isn't good. But it's...
I thought you were...
There's three mothers that are witches, so, you know, whatever... and this is like the Mother of Tears is gonna be awakened, and this one lady is trying to stop it from happening because she figured this stuff out. I can't remember, the movie didn't grasp my attention much at all. Oh boy, I don't know what else to say.
And that's the end.
No, I don't. Like the initial like synopsis, for the movie, it's 2007. Oh yeah, and Asia Argento, his daughter, is like the main character in this movie. So, you know, it's but it's the synopsis says part three of the Three Mothers trilogy, which takes place in Rome, and it has to do with the third mother. So even IMDb is like, fuck it, we don't need a summary. They're unleashing the demonic power of the world's most powerful witch. As a scourge of suicides plague the city, witches from all over the world converge in Rome to pay homage. Sarah must use her own psychic powers. That's right, she has psychic powers too. To stop the Mother of Tears before her evil conquers the world. That's all I have to say about that movie. It wasn't that great. I'm really sad because I was like, oh, I didn't know there was a third one. I should buy it. And then I saw it and went, I have the first two. I don't need the third one.
Because it's not going to get any better?
Yeah, it's... Because Argento's Dracula wasn't good. Like, I feel like once he was past the 90s, he was like, I can't do this anymore. Because none of the shots were very special, which made watching it just go, oh, eh. I don't know. I gave it a 5.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Are you doing a movie?
The next one I watched, you also watched.
Okay.
And it was Blue Velvet.
I watched Blue Velvet.
Oh my god, it's been so long, I don't even remember.
The FBI agent.
I'm just remembering the end, and that's it.
So, okay.
And the very beginning when his dad.
Yeah, so in the movie, in the movie of Blue Velvet, you meet a character. He's back home from college because his dad. They didn't say what he had, but I'm guessing it was a stroke. But he had some sort of thing happen to him where he had to go to the hospital. So he comes back home from college, and he runs into a girl he went to school with. But as he's like walking home from, I think, meeting her or whatever, he finds a severed ear in a field. And he goes, oh, shit, this should belong on someone's head. So he goes to the police and said, hey, I found this ear. And the police officer's like, wow, that's crazy. Well, we'll look into it. But then he decided to go into it, like, kind of start figuring the stuff out himself. Like, by, I think he, like, listened in because the girl that he's friends with, like, was her dad the police officer, I think?
Yeah.
And then it kind of leads to him finding, like, this woman at this club who sings. And he sneaks into her apartment, and you find out how much of a... I don't want to say an abusive relationship she's in, because it's not really a relationship. It's a guy who's, like kidnapped. You find out, like, this guy kidnapped her, I think, husband and son.
Sounds right.
I know her son for sure.
Yeah, it says it's kidnapped boy. That's all it says.
Yeah, okay. Or maybe he thought it was, like, that was her husband, but it's not. It's just a guy who... kidnapped. Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, Dennis Hopper
plays a fucking
Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah, Isabella Rossellini is the woman in Blue Velvet. Dennis Hopper plays a fucking nut job. Holy shit.
He's nuts.
His villain is great. I don't want to say much more about the plot, because it kind of takes some turns here and there that are like interesting. But once again, David Lynch.
Yeah, it's David Lynch. We didn't mention that at
the time. Oh, yeah. David Lynch.
David Lynch. Pretty messed up stuff. So David Lynch definitely has a style, and you're watching something of his, you're like, this is David Lynch.
Yeah.
Just the random, like, extras and stuff in the movies, I just love that stuff so much. Like, there's a guy walking his dog, but he's just standing there staring at people, and the dog's just like sniffing around, and they're not moving, and he's just, and then the fire truck goes by, and the guy's just staring up from the back. Like, there's just,
it's
awkward. Like, it's like, hey, go do this, and they're like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just gonna stand here.
It's almost like they're filming a movie, and the guy's like, what you guys doing? You filming a movie? You guys filming a movie?
They're just staring. I just love the people who are just in the background and don't know what to do, so they're just sitting there staring.
I'm sure he told them to do that.
He probably did. That's why every movie's like that. Otherwise, it'd just be that one person instead of everybody.
But it's so weird because, like, he's trying to figure out this weird story on, like, this woman her kid got kidnapped, and they're trying to figure out, like, whose ear, like, this whole detective story type thing. This guy from kid from college.
And there's a lot of extra stuff that's just in there, just...
Yeah.
But
considering how everyone is just watching everyone else, how, like, do things not get figured out earlier?
Yeah, everyone's just staring.
Like, definitely people watching what's going on at any time.
But that was, like, the middle of nowhere where you found the ear.
Yeah.
It was just by a tree.
But also, and then like, I do love the, because Laura Dern is the girl, the quote-unquote love interest in the movie of Jurassic Park fame. But that whole side story with her boyfriend, I loved how unimportant it was, but how important it was at the same time. Like, it's such a small aspect of it, but you're like, there's a B story to this that, like, seeing from his point of view, it's a very important story. Like, the boyfriend's point of view, but, like, you hardly see any of it, which is so realistic. Because you don't, like, you mostly see... everything from the movie is basically from the main character's point of view.
Right.
But not in, like, first-person point of view. But, like, because anything that happens, he's in the scene. Like, you don't see scenes with anyone else. You always are following him. So it's like anything... like, you don't see, like, a scene where, like, oh, the guy's, like, realizing, yeah, he's hanging out with my girlfriend too much. Because the main character's not there. Which is fucking nuts to think about. Because you're like, oh, because most movies you see from all these different characters' point of views, you're seeing the main character, and that's it. That's the only storyline you're following, and everyone else that ties into mm-hmm. it. God damn it, this movie's
so life.
Much, that's what, yeah. This movie's so much better than I thought it was.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, there's all these things going on, but you're only caring about the one story. But the other things might pique your interest, but you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it an 8.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
And it's like, this was pre-Twin Peaks.
Yeah, he's fucking young in this. Yeah,
Kyle MacLachlan or something. MacLachlan, I don't remember. Something like that. He's the main actor in Twin Peaks, but in this, he's so young because he's playing a high school kid or college kid.
Well, this is in 86, and Twin Peaks was like 90.
It was late 80s, early 90s.
91, I want to say.
Pretty sure.
Okay, so like 5 years difference.
Right, but he seems so much younger in this than Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Twin Peaks is 90, so like 4 years later. but yeah.
Phone not connecting to Wi-Fi.
My phone's just being weird. But, speaking of colors, the next one I watched was on my list of horror movies.
Yeah, it's probably the next one on mine. If it's
probably, because I think you watched it like right in a row.
Yeah, Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak. Another director that's fantastic. Look at this. I have Guillermo del Toro. I have David Lynch, and I have Dario Argento movies.
And I have that same list with Edgar Wright. So fuck that.
Fuck yeah, because it just goes downhill from here.
It's like, I guess August we just wanted to watch movies from famous directors.
Yeah.
Or in our eyes, famous
directors. Slender Man, who directed that?
Probably Akiva Goldsman.
But Crimson Peak.
Speaking of, that show comes out, sorry.
What show?
Titans.
Oh, yeah.
We're recording this really late.
So. Oh, yeah, it's October right now.
Yeah, it comes out. It came out today, the first episode.
Oh, did it?
Today. Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost halfway through October. It's been busy, guys. Fuck off. Jesus. All right.
I was like, I shouldn't say anything because then people know how late this was.
Yeah, but I probably fucking, by the time I get it uploaded, it's going to be 2019. Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
Now, oh shit, the main character. I can't. Oh, so the main character, she is a writer. She wants to be a writer. But this is like old times. What times are these?
I'm looking.
It's like train times.
Railroad times.
It's railroad times. It just says. It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
1880s. So railroad times. Buffalo, New York, 1880s. But the main character, she wants to be a writer. But her father owns this like giant corporation. I can't remember exactly what he does, but like I think he built like owns like machinery and some of that because Loki, Middleditch?
That's the guy from IT Crowd.
Yeah. No.
Middleston.
No, it's not IT Crowd, it's from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Tom Hiddleston.
Yes. He comes in, he's like, I got an idea for this, like, coal-powered, steam-powered, whatever, machine that digs mud.
Yeah.
And,
it's like they're looking for, like, this kind of clay.
Yeah, that's what, not mud, clay. And, the main character's like, no. The main character's dad is like, no, I don't trust you. You're, like, British, and you're, like... And you're like, you're too rich for my daughter.
I don't trust you. You're British.
He's like,
the one thing you learned.
Well, he looked at his
trust a Brit.
I just remember he looked at his hands. He's like, your hands are in callous. You haven't worked a day in your life. You're just like, you just work on money. Like, I don't trust you, whatever. But the main character, she's like kind of smitten with Loki because it's him. He's a master of trickster. She falls in love with him immediately, and the father's against it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, because he's trying to get him, get her to go with what's his face,
the detective doctor guy, the doctor dude.
Yeah, I can't remember.
The guy from Pacific Rim.
Oh yeah, Charlie Hunnam. He plays Dr. McMichael.
Yeah.
So I'm sure his hands aren't calloused either if he's a doctor.
Yeah, but he has a profession of not just, like, selling things.
Yeah, that's true.
He saves lives.
He
saved but lives. Guess what? But someone's life isn't saved. The dad is fucking holy brutally, shit.
That was so murdered. Brutal.
I know. Yeah, the dad's brutally murdered, and then suddenly, like, oh, well, I guess the dad has no say in this. So she marries off, and goes lives off in wherever the hell they live.
It's like Australia or something, isn't it?
I don't think it's Australia. No. There's snow.
Oh yeah, there's
right. Snow everywhere.
I don't know.
It's probably in Europe somewhere.
Probably. It doesn't say.
Please. Thomas Sharp. Anyways, they go off to where he lives, and his sister is with him too, because they live together in this big mansion. Because they used to be a rich family, but that's why they need to sell this clay digging machine, because like their family's coming hard times, and they want to make money from this clay that's really red and whatever. And that's why it's called Crimson Peak, because it's the red clay.
Red clay. Yeah, the peak where most of the clay is.
Yeah. I'm feeling like I'm explaining this very boringly.
We forgot to mention the ghosts.
Yeah. But as you're going, like...
the thing that livens this movie up.
Yeah. As you're going, the characters are slowly figuring out that Loki and his sister, who is Jessica Chastain... Another movie.
I was gonna say, don't give too much of the movie
away. No. They're like, oh, something's not right about this. And of course, from the start, you're like, something's not right about it as a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's kind of the story.
Well, so the girl that marries Loki.
Yeah.
There were ghosts telling her to watch out.
Yeah. Her mother, which was fucking terrifying to me.
Yeah. So like they're like, don't go to the Crimson Peak.
Yeah.
And then by that point it's too late. She already knows what the Crimson Peak is.
Well, not until she gets there. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, we're going to this place. He's like, yeah, but you should see it. People call it Crimson Peak. She's like, wait, what?
What? Uh oh, bad things are gonna happen.
Bad things.
Bad things at the Circle K.
But no, I know a lot of people I know that they didn't care for it too much, but I loved it.
Right.
The feel of it, it has the Guillermo del Toro feel. The actors and actresses are great.
Yeah, they had great actors. The special effects I thought were amazing.
Yeah, people complained about the special effects. I'm like, no, I didn't.
I thought they looked awesome.
I didn't think they looked cheesy. The
ghosts look sweet. The father's...
That
scene was too real.
Shit. Yeah.
That seemed too real.
But yeah, I gave it an... Did I give it a 7.5 or an 8?
I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 7.5.
Give it an 8.
But yeah, Crimson Peak was on my list of movies. That's it for you? Oh, shit.
I only watched 4 movies this month. All
right.
And you've seen them all.
All right, the next movie I watched was a movie called Frontiers, but the S is in parentheses.
Oh.
I don't know why they didn't...
Is this a current?
In the last decade. It was one of the 8 movies to die for.
Oh, okay.
When they had the Midnight Horror Fest or whatever. But it was like from the first year, but it... Or first, second year, but it was like a bonus movie. So it wasn't one of the 8 movies. But it's happening during this, during this, like, Civil War.
I like how I type in Frontiers and Star Trek is the first thing that comes up.
But there's, like, a Civil War in this country. Oh, shit. Is it not France. London?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. It's from 2007, so, like, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
It's Paris. During the aftermath of a political election.
That's what it is. There's a political election, and a lot of people are like... Fuck this guy.
And
he's
there's an inn.
Yeah. I'm okay. Getting to that.
Okay. I haven't seen the movie. I'm just reading the one sentence synopsis.
There's this like political corruption type like thing where like it's almost like now with Trump where people like either love him or hate him, and then it's causing like riots in the streets. And there's it starts with a group of people that just robbed this business. I think a bank or a store or something. They robbed this place. And they're trying to get away from the police and whatnot. So they go out, off into the country, and they end up splitting up in two different cars because one person got shot. So they took him to the hospital. And other people like went ahead to find an inn. And once you get to the inn, the people there are really fucking creepy, and they seem to have like ulterior motives. And you find out that They're Nazis.
Neo-Nazis.
Neo-Nazis.
Whatever that means. New Nazis.
New Nazis. They're not like Hitler Nazis, but they're like, I still believe in the Third Reich and whatever. But they have this weird thing with, like, it's a weird family thing.
Oh.
What?
Sorry, I'm reading the description.
Wait, what does it say?
Because they're trying to start a new master race.
Yeah.
And they chose her.
Oh, yeah. So, like, then it's, like, weird family thing where, like, we're this, like, the father of the family, and then, like, they have and then all of his sons, in parentheses. I think they're old Tinkly related, but then they have wives, and they're like, oh, we need these people to be, like, they kidnap them, and then if they're not worthy, they murder them. If they are worthy, then they marry them off to these people, yeah, saying, hey.
Kids for the
future. Yeah, to make kids for the future. But one of the main characters, she is... Oh, fuck. I can't remember what race she is. But she's not, like, pure blood, like, purebred, like, German or anything like that. She's, like, I want to say his... Oh, God. I want to get this wrong, because I'm bad. Yeah,
it doesn't say it on here.
Well, she has... Yeah, whatever. I think she almost might... Her character might be Jewish.
Probably. Yeah, that would make sense.
But I could be wrong. Yeah, so it's I don't want to say it's torture porn, but it kind of is like... It has...
Sure seems like it from the reviews.
No, there's a part in the movie where there's an incident with a circular saw.
Oh, God! I don't... There was a plot point in the first one. I don't want to see that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, no. That was the worst... That was one of the worst things ever. Okay. Yeah, if you don't like torture type movies and you have aversions to like Achilles tendons, don't watch this movie. I had to cover the screen numerous times.
That's the first keyword.
Oh fuck. That part made me fucking shudder so much. But there's a part where like someone falls on a circular saw table. And just the way it looked and the way they reacted, I thought they were dead in real life. Like, there's some really cool, like, realistic, violent moments. But I'm not a huge fan of just like, hey, here's a room full of people that get tortured and some of that. It's not... It's scary to think about, but it's not scary when you're watching a movie to me.
It's just gross.
Yeah. So that's why I gave it a 6. Yeah. It's
gross.
But that was... Oh, my God, I closed my app with my list. But, yeah, that was... I gave that a 6 Frontiers. Next was... on my list... I don't want to spend too much time on this one. Conjuring 2. I saw the first one. First one had its moments. It was decent. The second one was a dumbed-down version of that one in England. It was the same two characters... Owlman and
we didn't see the first one during the podcast.
No, but it was Owlman Norma Bates.
Night Owl.
He's also in Hard Candy and a whole bunch of other stuff. Whatever.
I know him from Night Owl from Watchmen.
Yeah, and then
these movies.
Vera Farmiga, I believe her name is. But anyways, they hear about this story about this girl getting, or this house being possessed, so they fly off to England because it's like a single mother with a bunch of girls, and they're like, this is the only place they can live and whatnot, blah blah blah, and they show up, and it's again a very generic, hey, this house is haunted, what's gonna happen, doors are opening and closing, here's a toy that we like as kids, but now it's scary. There's an old man in a leather chair. It wasn't like, I was like, when the fuck is this movie going to end?
Felt like it was really stretched out.
They're
just trying to set up the next movies.
Like, I don't know. Conjuring movies, like, the first one was kind of exciting because, like, oh shit, here's a mainstream horror movie that people are saying it's good. But it's like, it's good because they pulled a lot of aspects from old horror movies, they went, oh shit, that's something that they did in the movies in the 70s and 80s and this and that. Like, they actually use like specific like they did certain like nods to other horror movies. Like, that's cool. But then they said, oh, it's just a franchise now, so we can just make a fucking horror movie and have it as cookie cutter as possible.
Yeah, I felt like the first one was very cookie cutter to me.
It was.
As far as cookie cutter, I mean, like those old horror movies, like the Amityville and
stuff. Yeah, yeah, but like, yeah, but it felt a little bit like oh shit, it's like we're watching these old movies now. It's like,
yeah, I guess it's like a fine line between an homage and copy.
Yeah, yeah. And this felt like a copy. We're like, oh.
The first one was like an homage. The second one was a copy.
Yeah, I don't know. And I can't put my finger on how to describe this feeling, but it feels like these movies, they have a weird safeness to them.
Well, yeah, because they're aimed for the general audience.
Yeah, exactly. But it feels like someone that doesn't watch horror movies said, I'm going to make a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And like, what's in a, okay, quick, let's brainstorm. What's in a horror movie? Blinking lights. Good, write that down.
Yeah, a door closing.
Okay, write that down. Okay.
Squeaking and walking.
And then sometimes there's candles. What are the candles doing? I don't know, put them in a circle. I've seen that like in a book. All right, put candles in a circle. The movie, like, ooh, we summon a demon, we put candle circle, come, oh Lord. And then it's like, whoa, the lights are flickering. Like, it's so generic. It doesn't feel real like a movie. Like, it feels like we're watching someone that said, this is the first draft, fucking run with it. Good, go, first draft. Like, we don't have to fill in the details.
Yeah, they just want to get it out fast.
And then also the characters, like, they don't seem like to be taking this movie seriously either. Like, the actors, it's like, especially in this one, you saw the fucking honest trailers, and he's like, pretending to be Elvis. I'm like, this is so fucking campy.
Yeah.
It felt like, it just doesn't...
They're there just to get a paycheck, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the Conjuring movies, I'm gonna watch the Annabelle movies, because everyone says they're good, and I... No, I shouldn't believe them, but I'm going to, and watch the Annabelle movies. I don't know.
Like I said, it's for the mass audiences, so obviously the mass audiences are going to like it if it's aimed for them.
But there's still that.
Then there's like.
There's always that small chance that there might be something original in there.
I mean, how many times have we seen a mass audience movie and gone, this is amazing?
I mean, Cabin in the Woods is pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like that also isn't as popular as it should have been.
And that was also like 6 years ago.
Right. I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, even like the really good ones I still feel are pretty niche. Yeah, Cabin in the Woods is good.
Yeah.
I think It Follows is good.
That one, a lot of people hated it, though.
That's true.
Hereditary, a lot of people hated
those, it. I guess It Follows and Hereditary are not meant for the main audience.
No.
They're definitely for the people like us who like unique horror movies.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
We want something new and different, but with a hint of familiarity.
Yeah.
And that's what those movies brought.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Like, I feel like The Conjuring is just recycled garbage. Like, how many times have they remade Amityville Horror?
Remade it or made, like, sequels?
Any of them.
There's at least, like, 12.
But I'm just saying, everyone felt the same.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, oh, look, this one's got Ryan Reynolds. Still felt like the same one from the 80s.
They made a bunch of Amityville movies, but, like, the actual Amityville Horror, I think there's only been two.
But either way, like, I'm saying, like, they all felt the same.
Yeah.
And they felt like, I mean, obviously that's what these are based off of, is the Amityville thing. So obviously it's going to feel like that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to make an Amityville Horror movie. Because they hinted at
it. Because it's like they're leading up to it. It's going to be like, it's their Avengers. Well,
they hinted at
actually, it's going to have Annabelle and the nun and the creepy man thing is going to be another movie.
Actually, I could be wrong, but I think they referenced the Amityville Horror House in the second one. I think
they mentioned it in the first one.
I think they started it that way, but I could be wrong. I fucking forgot everything.
Because they were explaining that these are the people who are famous for that Amityville Horror thing. They mentioned that. I haven't seen the second one, but they mentioned it in the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Because that was the call at the very end. Like, oh, these people up in New York, like, do credits.
Yeah. Amityville's going to be their Avengers.
Din, 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 din.
Oh, the walk of life?
Yeah. but anyways, Conjuring 2, I gave it a 5.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
No, I'm going to give it a 4.5. It's better. It's worse than average.
Is it worse or better than the first one?
It's worse than the first one by far. Like, I think if I had, like, I haven't watched it in a long time, but if I had to grade,
I probably would have gave the first one a 5.
I probably would give it like
it's just average.
6.5, maybe.
There's nothing.
6.5.
It's not terrible. I mean, it's just long. It feels like a long movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, there's nothing bad about it. It just feels long.
Oh, and also, yeah, one other thing. I hate when they have period piece movies and they go, hey, look at this. Wow, where are they going to go from here? Like, yeah, we get it. You're in the fucking, like, 70s or 80s. Because in the second one, he has this giant fucking, like, it's like, he's like,
oh, too bad there's not, like, a thing you can hold and just take pictures whenever you want.
Yeah. But, like, because there's a part where, like, in the second Conjuring where he has a camcorder and it's like a fucking suitcase over his shoulder. He's like, you can just walk. He's like, well, I can just walk around. Wow. It's so light and easy to use.
Yeah.
You're like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. That was like every single joke in the 1,000 Ways to Die in the West.
Ugh.
Like, that was every joke.
Was it a million ways or a thousand?
A million. I don't fucking know. It's that Family Guy.
Yeah. Family Guy guy.
The Family Guy guy movie that I watched for some reason.
All right. Well, and speaking of movies that are just rehashes of other movies, the last movie I watched in the month was the Friday the 13th movie from, like...
The remake?
Yeah.
With Rorschach?
With Derek Mears. No, nope. That's...
Sorry, that's Freddy.
No, I think Derek Mears of Comedy Sports fame and Channel 101.
That guy. Yeah, that guy's funny.
Yeah.
Even though he's supposed to be scary, he's funny.
So, okay. So, I kind of liked what they were trying to do at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it starts off right away with these guys.
Isn't it like 1 and 2 combined?
Kind of.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yes,
but I remember I remember watching it going, this isn't terrible, but it's one of those things that, like, why did you need to remake it?
Yeah, there's no fucking reason to.
The same with Nightmare on Elm Street. Texas Chainsaw I thought was a good remake, but the original is still better.
Oh, yeah, much better.
But the remake was good, too. I mean, I guess it falls in the line with all of those. Like, they remade it. They're decent, but the originals are better.
So, but the thing is, they actually gave that, put that in as a reason for it, because at the very beginning of the movie, if you haven't seen any of the Friday the 13th movies, I'm going to spoil them for you, because they're from 38 years
ago. It reminds me, I'm probably going to go through one of these times.
I have all of them.
So do I.
Oh, yeah.
just watch them all through, because I think most of them I watched were on TNT, so they're edited.
Yeah, I bought them and watched them.
So now I have the uncut, so maybe I'll actually get to see boobs.
Are there any?
An X there is.
Just.
It's like the only one I watched.
You're like, that's what, like, this is the only place you can watch boobs is the Friday the 13th movie.
What do you think I'm doing right now? Just kidding.
Whoa. On your phone?
Boobs on my phone? Who would have thunk?
It's just the word that says boobs scrolling across the screen.
It's a text document.
But anyways, so because the movie starts, if you haven't seen the first movie, they're always talking about, everyone knows, that's the weird thing about Friday the 13th is, everyone knows Jason Voorhees is the killer, but if you watch the first movie, you're like, oh, it's the mother, but like, as weird as it is now, like, just thinking back to like the first time that came out, you wouldn't have thought, oh, Jason Voorhees, but they did mention like this. Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of like
this kid
hinting.
Died.
This kid died in the.
This kid died in the lake. And this kind of like, oh, he's. Some people say he haunts his place, and then it's the mother. You go, oh shit, she's mad because her kid died. So the very beginning of the movie is basically the mother like someone confronting the mother like, oh, she's like, you shouldn't have let.
Could you imagine if Friday the 13th was a one shot movie?
Yeah.
Like, no one would know who Jason Voorhees is.
Yeah. Well, except he pops out of the water at the end.
Well, he's a kid at the end, but yeah.
The mother's like, oh, you let my boy die. And then then one of the counselors or whatever cuts the mother's head off. And like, yeah, just like the first movie. But then you see a small Jason, like, crying next to his dead mother. And you went, but I thought he drowned in the lake. Right?
And he's his brother?
I don't know. They never
seen this in a long time.
They mentioned really, and but then it cuts to a bunch of people trying to find a camp, the camp, so they can set up camp there. So they're like, oh, here's some brand new characters to meet, and then right away they get murdered. You went, oh, okay, and then you see another group of people like going camping in this area, but one of the girls from the first group, her brother is trying to find her. He's like, oh, my sister's missing. Help, here's some posters. And then everyone else up at the cabin's like, oh, we're rich douchebags. I don't like you because you're a piece of shit. Of course, they meet up later where the guy's like, I'm looking for my sister. The guy's like, my parents own this cabin. You're, fuck you, stop hitting my girlfriends. And hitting on a girlfriend. But apparently there's a Blue Velvet reference to that movie because the guy says...
PBR.
Yeah, he says like he says something like drinking
Heineken.
Because he mentions about like drinking Heineken, and he's like, "No, I don't drink that. I drink American stuff like Pabst Blue Ribbon or something like that." With a reference,
where it's just a casual.
Yeah,
but Heineken. We never mentioned that part when we were talking about Blue Velvet.
Yeah, that's good. Dude. When you drink, I like Heineken. My parents drink that, Bud Light, but I like Heineken. All of a sudden,
fuck Heineken.
What are you drinking, Heineken? Fuck Heineken, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Just
because you're like, how is this Coach been a sponsor in here?
Oh, I just like whatever
product placement. I mean,
but
it's like when he orders Heineken, I'm like, oh, fucking
yeah, fuck. It was so weird.
I thought they were like getting paid to do that, and then they say fuck Heineken. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Heineken would approve of that.
Well, I just think it was a reference to his character being like, oh, I'm in college now and I drink good beer. Instead of like just shitty,
shitty light beers.
And then he's like, what are you fucking talking about? That's a garbage beer. But anyways, on Friday the 13th, they're, once again, after like you're half an hour into the movie, you meet new characters and like, oh, these guys. And they don't give much time. The movie's so generic that even the characters in the movie are like, hey, this is the mid-2000s. We could try hard. But we're still going to have, like, here's the generic stoner guy, and here's the generic black guy, and here's the generic Asian guy who's partying, and here's the generic... Like, it was just so generic, and... But then later, I don't know. Yeah, because he kidnapped the girl, the guy who's looking for his sister. He kidnapped her because she resembled his mother.
Oh, that's yeah, why. Because right.
Then later she's wearing the dress or the sweaters, like... Oh, Jason's over here. Somebody has
mommy issues.
Yeah. I don't know. And, it wasn't good at all. There's, like, no aspect to where I went, that was an awesome moment. And even the part where one of the guys was growing weed near the camp. And he's like, oh, I don't go near that camp. It's dangerous over there. And then, like, for years, Jason has been worming these woods. And suddenly now he fucking wanders over to this guy that works in the barn that grows weed. Like, why... This whole time
it grew, so obviously it's been there a while.
Yeah, this dude, like, suddenly out of nowhere, he's like, I never go into those woods. And now he's like, not in the woods, and then he gets murdered by Jason. I'm like, why? Why did he suddenly now change his mind? He has plenty of people to kill. He woke up,
it's his birthday, or his mom, it was Mother's Day.
But he has plenty of people to kill in the woods, but he wanders off to go kill a guy who's fucking working on a tractor, or whatever. I don't know, I was wanting to like this. I gave it a 5. Like, it wasn't awful, but it was just, like, it was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Because I heard people say, oh, yeah, that was pretty good. Don't watch the Nightmare on Elm Street. That one's a bad remake.
No, that one's not bad. They're both not bad, I think.
Okay.
I personally thought they're about par. I was going to say Freddy might be better, but I don't know if it is. Because there's parts I remember that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But they made it... Like... This is the thing. Those old movies are cheesy and funny and stuff. And then they're basically trying to make a dark, serious version of it. So, like, Nightmare on Elm Street... The first one wasn't that goofy and stuff, but the new one... felt too real.
Yeah.
Because they, like, really went into the pedophilia thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So I was like, because obviously, like, that's the history of his character and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, they just leaned into, like, the creepiest parts of him. And it's, like, so it's creepier,
Well, I don't think they actually even said that. They just kind of sort implied.
Right.
Don't bite the cord.
I think that's the kind of thing you didn't talk about back then either in the 80s. Until
now
people started getting kidnapped.
But now there's so many bad characters. You got to make sure that this guy is really bad.
Right.
You know.
You can't be rooting for him.
Yeah. But you'll tell funny jokes then. Well, to prime time.
They didn't. I don't think they had any. I don't remember any funny jokes in anyone.
Okay.
That's what I mean. They made it dark and serious.
But anyways, that was September. No, August. That was August. The movies I watched that were on my list were Four Flies on Grey Velvet with an 8, Crimson Peak with a 7.5, Frontiers with a 6, Conjuring 2 with a 4.5.
I didn't watch any on my list, but the best movie I watched was Hot Fuzz with an 8.5. The worst movie I watched was Four Flies on Grey Velvet with a 7.
Best movie I watched was Four Flies on Grey Velvet with an 8. And Blue Velvet with an 8, and then worse was Conjuring 2 with a 4.5. So almost double, or half. Yeah.
I'm going to start getting caught up on these 3D movies.
Yeah, so that was August. Do you have any suggestions, or be like, whatever you're talking about, Conjuring is my favorite movie. I like remakes. Kat has something to say. Keish, you have something to say? No? Okay.
I hope that got picked up. It looks like it did.
You can email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Other than that,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.